Well, I've said already that Sunday school isn't just a big creche for when the rest of us are doing something else. It's not just that the kids are being occupied. It's much, much more than that. And it's been great to hear from the boys and girls this morning. Boys and girls, well done for telling us what you've been learning in Sunday school. That's fantastic. And I know, you see, that both the teachers and the kids work really hard so that they can learn and understand what the Bible says. And those books that you guys have been given have all been chosen so that you work really hard to understand what the Bible says. But I wonder if you can do me a favor. If you've got a prize this morning, can you hold it up? If you're one of the boys and girls that's got a prize, can you hold it up? Hold it up really high. Yeah, fantastic. Now what I want you to do is to take both hands on it. Okay, you got that? Both hands now. What I want you to do is to lower it all the way down and put it on the floor just underneath your seat and push it back very slightly. Okay, and then let go and then sit up because I've got something I want to show you and I might need some help with. We'll see how we get on. See, the whole idea of Sunday school is not just to learn the stories and to hear somebody teaching from the front. It's all about what? What are we trying to get you to do with the stories? Well, I'll tell you, we're trying to help you to understand them. And as you understand the stories, so you know more about God and how he deals with the world, and believe it or not, you know more about yourselves and how you deal with the world. And the whole point is when you put the two together, knowing more about God and how much he loves you and knowing more about yourself and what you're like, then you find that the two put together bring amazing results, genuinely amazing results. But I wonder, I'm not going to do this morning, but if I were to go around the boys and girls and ask them not what they do in Sunday school, but why they go out to Sunday school, I wonder what they would say. Why? Don't answer. Why? Just think in your heads. Why do you think you go out to Sunday school? And you might say, well, it is actually just to give my mum or dad a bit of peace so that they can listen to you talk for a little while on a Sunday morning. Maybe some people might think that. But there's much more than that, actually. Much more than that. I'm not going to ask you why, but we're going to stop and think together why. See, some people do think that going to Sunday school is all about trying to make the boys and girls into good people because they see great examples in the Bible. So we've heard about Daniel in the lion's den. And what did Daniel do? Somebody tell me one of the things Daniel did. Come on, you've been in Daniel. Come on. Somebody other than... Go on. Ha ha. Daniel, let me ask you what Daniel did. You must be an expert on him. What did Daniel do? He what, sorry? He said, he prayed. That's exactly right. Daniel is a man who was known for praying in the Bible. That's exactly right. So, do you think we're trying to get the kids in Sunday school to pray more? Is that why you go out to Sunday school? So that you all get turn into nice kids who pray a lot? Well, that's, I guess, a part of it. It's a good idea. Someone else you read about in the Bible was kind. So you've been learning about the Lord Jesus and he was kind. Do we send you out to Sunday school just so that you can learn to be kind? Is that what it's all about? Somebody else in the Bible was brave. Daniel's colleagues, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were very brave. Do we send you out to Sunday school so that you can learn to be brave? Is that what it's all about? Well, if not, why is it that we run Sunday school? Why do the teachers go to so much effort? Why do we make such a big deal? I've been thinking about a story that Jesus told. And I thought it'd be a really good way to help us understand why we do Sunday school. And actually why we open the Bible at all, to be honest. Luke chapter 6, Jesus is talking about what people are like who follow him. And verse 43, which is going to come on the sheet behind, on the screen behind me, says this. Jesus said this. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Anyone that's been anywhere near our house recently will know that a great mess down the side of our house, we have cleared away all the rubbish and the thorns and the briars and everything, and I have taken great delight a few months ago in planting a new hedge. It is the first gardening project that I have ever seriously been involved in, other than mowing the lawn and chopping things down. And it's been great. Clearing the ground was really hard work. Digging the trench was fairly hard work. Filling it with compost was interesting work. Then planting 100 of these tiny little 20p hedge plants. I've planted hawthorn and blackthorn and dog rose and hazel and something else. I can never remember what something else is. And I've mixed them all together. And do you know what? There's a kind of miracle going on. I think pouring miracle grow on them helps, actually. But there's a kind of miracle going on. I planted them a few months ago and they were about that high. And now they're that high. And I've taken a great deal of pleasure. Do you know what? It will amaze my wife. She can't get over it. I could almost get into gardening because of this. And that's nobody in my family would have believed that that was true of me years ago. I could almost get into it. It's fantastic watching them grow. Do you know what? I have enjoyed it so much that I might just start to do other gardening-y sort of things as well, if the rain will stop for 10 minutes to let me get out. But the problem, of course, with a hedge that I've just planted, with the dog rose and all the rest of it, and the hawthorn, is that most of it isn't edible. I know the hazel will eventually give us some nuts, but they're not very big hazel plants. And I want something I can eat from the garden. So I had an idea. My son Caleb, several years ago, planted an apple seed, and it has now grown into an apple tree that is about 5 meters high. And there are 14 apples on it this year. We're rather pleased with that. Though I'm told by our expert next door we could have 100 apples if we had cut it back. So next year we will do better. But I've had a bit of an idea, and I want to show you my idea. If I can move these beautiful plants, I'd like to grow my own apple tree. And I found on the kind of land behind our hedge, I found in the ground I cleared one of these. Now, can anyone identify that for me? Weed is not the right answer. Come on, somebody tell me what that is. Can you see what it is? Well, I thought it was a big dandelion, actually. No? Some kind of thistle. See, this. Come on, there's all these gardening experts. Somebody must know. Ragwort, is it? I've got no idea. Well, I just thought, you know, if I treat this right, maybe I could get some apples to grow on it. But it's got this high in just a few weeks. It's amazing how quick they grow when you don't want them to, isn't it? And I dug this up yesterday and I thought, I reckon with a bit of effort, I could probably turn that into an apple tree. Tell you what, I don't think we're going to have time to get apples on it today. So let me show you what I've done. It is really just a weed, but I thought if I show it some apples and put apples on it, then the thing might get the idea. So, what's the best way, come on some of you gardeners, what's the best way to attach apples to an apple tree or to an aspiring apple tree? What's the best way? What? Sorry? Staple gun. Right. So what I thought was, if I just do this, then the plant might get the idea, and we might just manage to persuade it. Hang on. We might just manage to persuade it to grow apples. Boys and girls, by the way, do you think this is going to work? Do you think this is, I think, the stapler's jam. Do you think it's going to work? Do you think my tree is going to learn to grow apples if I do this? What do you mean, no? Do you think it will, Eleanor? Your dad's an expert. No? You should be here, shouldn't he? Just tell us how to do this. I'm sure. I thought they called this grafting. Is that not how you graft things together? No? No. Now, has anybody done grafting? Yeah, and this isn't how you do it. What should I have used? Sticky tape, shouldn't I? That would have done it. So tell me, if I try and attach apples using a staple gun, do you think the tree will get the idea that it's meant to be an apple tree? What do you think, folks? No. No. So you mean attaching good things to it is not going to make it good? What would I need to do to this weed if I wanted it to grow apples? Or if I wanted to grow apples on the piece of ground that where the weed is growing, what would I need to do? What would I need to start with? Eleanor? Oh. I'd need to plant an apple tree. So I'm never going to get apples from this. No matter how hard I try. Are you sure? Is she right? The problem, you see, as we all realize, is that you can't get apples from a weed. You have to start by changing it on the inside. That's just useless. What I really need to grow an apple tree, to grow apples, is an apple tree. It needs to change on the inside, and that's exactly Jesus' point. Let's read the passage again on the board behind me. No good tree bears... Let's read it together, shall we? No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of his heart the mouth speaks. So what my tree needs is to be new on the inside. Now think about what I was asking a few minutes ago. Why do the boys and girls go out to Sunday school? What are we trying to get them to do by learning these stories from the Bible, by telling them about Daniel and about Jesus and so on? Actually, Sunday school is not about trying to help the boys and girls look good on the outside, just like attaching apples to them to make them look good. No. It's to help them understand that they need to change on the inside to have a new heart. And that is what Jesus promises to do to anyone who will love and trust him and ask him to be their savior. Let me take you back into the Old Testament for a minute, to something that a guy called Ezekiel wrote around about the same time as Daniel. And actually, it's going to come up on the board behind me. The prophet Ezekiel lived around about the same time as Daniel, and God told Ezekiel to say this: I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. God said a time will come when the hard heart that doesn't want to know God, what's described there by Ezekiel as a heart of stone, when the hard heart he will replace with a living heart. In other words, God will change people, not just on the outside, but on the inside. See, all of us have inside a hard heart that says, I'm the most important one. I, myself, and me, and I are the things that rule my life. And we know that is true because of the decisions that we make. I want to go my way and be in charge of what I want to do. I want to do my own thing. I want to make the decisions. I know what God says about this or that or the other, but I'm in charge of me. And instead of living as we should and treating as important what God wants and how God wants us to live and to be for him, we live for ourselves. And Jesus said that he will punish us one day for treating our king like that. But actually, Jesus said you can tell which one is which because of what comes out of your heart and then out of your mouth. what's going on the inside? Well, you can see it with people. But God promised that one day, someday, he would make it possible for people to have a new heart. It would be a bit like being a weed like that. And God making it possible for a weed to turn into a glorious apple tree. So, Jesus said that if we will love and trust him and ask him to be our savior, he will turn our hard hearts that want to go our way, and he will soften them. And he will make them all brand new, and he will make us into new people who learn to love and know and trust him if we ask him to be our savior. Think about that for a minute. What it would be like to be something that starts one way and is changed to be something different. Jesus called that being born again, to be made brand new on the inside. And he died on the cross to make it possible for our hard hearts, for him to take the punishment we deserve for the way we treat God. He took it on himself. And for us to have new hearts where we love God and learn to be like him and to know and love him. So the boys and girls are learning in Sunday school not actually to dangle apples on something which is dead. No, no. They're learning, actually, what it means to know and to love and to trust him. And we pray that they will do that, and so they will be renewed on the inside. And actually, that's not just a message for kids. That's a message for everybody. And so the question this morning in our Sunday school prize giving is not, have the kids learned their stuff properly? Do they sing beautifully? We know that they all do that. But actually to ask whether all of us have asked God to change us from the inside, to make us brand new. To thank Jesus that he died on the cross to make it possible and rose again from the dead to give us hope and eternity with him forever. But actually asked him to be our savior and our Lord, to be new on the inside. Have you done that? Whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, have you done that? Because that is the only hope for humanity. To be made new on the inside. Not so you can grow apples on a weed, but so that you and I can be what we were always designed to be. People who know and love God and are loved by him, both now in our lives and also when we die for eternity.